live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
There's been a lawsuit going on out in Ohio that hasn't gotten nearly the national attention it deserves. It involves Oberlin College, and three students, black students at Oberlin College, were accused of shoplifting the day after the 2016 election. And Oberlin College decided to make this a it was a racist incident on the bakery had committed against these black students, even though the three black students were, one of them was attempting to shoplift and after buying trying to buy wine without a proper ID, and they ended up beating the owner of their, one of the owners of the bakery, the little bakery. But it became a major cause to destroy this bakery. There were demonstrations. They lost their college contracts. It's called Gibson's Bakery. And the one of the deans sort of led the students in decrying the racism. And there was no racism. And the students eventually pleaded guilty to shoplifting and said there was no racism. But Oberlin refused to settle up with this bakery, which had been there for five generations in the little college town. And so the bakery sued, and they just won last week an $11 million judgment against Oberlin College. And this week they've been talking about damages, you know, double or triple damages against the college. And there's only one place that's been reporting that, and that is the Legal Insurrection. It's a great website, and it's run by William Jacobson. He's a professor at Cornell Law School, and he's the president of Legal Insurrection Foundation. And so I just wanted to, this is a really interesting story. It's been covered by powerlineblog.com. There's a big op-ed piece about it today in the Wall Street Journal, but I wanted to have Professor Jacobson on to discuss this. Professor Jacobson, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thank you for having me.
So what's the latest on the damages part of the case? Are they hearing testimony today, or have they made a decision?
They finished testimony today on the punitive damages. So the $11 million award was compensatory damages.
Yeah.
In Ohio, they have a cap on punitive damages. It can only be twice compensatory.
Twice. Okay.
So the jury could add another $22 million, which would bring the total to $33 million. The jury could also recommend that the judge award attorney's fees to the plaintiffs. Then it would be up to the judge. So this could go well north of $33 million. We will find out tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, it's not going to be one of these cases where he's going to take it under advisement for a couple of months. This is going to be a quick one.
No, this is a jury.
A jury.
Jury rendered the verdict, and the jury is going to render the punitive. Same jury that gave the $11 million is going to decide on the $22 million. They'll get the case probably late morning or lunchtime tomorrow.
And then this is the same jury that Oberlin College just gave kind of a slap to last week after they came back with the initial verdict, saying they hadn't followed the facts of the case, even though they'd been sitting there the entire time.
I mean, it was astounding and really reflecting the arrogance of Oberlin College that within an hour, I think it was an hour after the $11 million verdict came in, the general counsel and vice president of Oberlin College sends an all-campus email, a blast email, basically saying that they're sorry that the jury disregarded the clear evidence that the college presented, and we did nothing wrong. So they haven't gotten the message, from what I understand, because we're the only national outlet that has a reporter in the courtroom every single day of this trial. It's been a month now, and so we've been reporting daily on it. From what he tells me today, the jury did hear about that letter, and essentially Oberlin College today pleaded poverty. They pleaded for the mercy of
what?
The court. They said, we're cash poor, basically.
Wait, what is their endowment? What is the endowment?
They have a huge endowment, almost $1 billion endowment, but they're trying to argue you shouldn't look at that. You look at, like, the cash flow and things like that. So I don't think that's going to go over very big. I mean, just not acknowledging things that are numbers. I mean, one of the things that I have to believe inflamed the jury is – during the regular case, they presented evidence as to compensatory damages. How badly was the bakery hurt or not
right.
hurt? And the $11 million was for the bakery and its two owners. But on the bakery part, Oberlin College actually called an expert who was paid $75,000 to to announce to the jury that this fifth generation bakery that supported three current generations was only worth $35,000. And it's just totally tone deaf. It's like, we're the college, we're smarter than you, and we don't really care. We're going to do whatever we want. And I think the jury got that sense. And we'll find out tomorrow, you know, whether they feel there's not only a need to compensate people, but to punish the college.
You would think after they lost the original jury verdict that they would have gone in today and instructed their lawyers to just to sort of apologize and, you know, put on a humble face and, express some remorse, however insincere, you know, and just
try
to.
I think they did some of that. They did some of that, but I don't know if they flat out apologized, but they did some of that. We understand the message you sent us, et cetera, et cetera. But from what I understand, that when the general counsel who sent out this blast email was on the stand, they asked her, did you ever consider when you sent out that blast email also sending out an apology? And she said, no, we never considered it.
The college can appeal it, though, right? I mean, they have that.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know whether these people ever see their money. You know, appeals are tricky things. All the appellate court needs to do is find one serious error by the trial judge, and this thing could be back. So this battle, I would refer to this trial as, you know, the end of the beginning, okay, that now starts round two, which will be the appellate process, and that's a risk to these plaintiffs because it doesn't take much for an appeals court to reverse.
Yeah. Now, just to be clear, when the three students who were charged with shoplifting, they later pleaded guilty to shoplifting and signed statements saying that there was no racism involved in the incident, right?
That's right, because they were in fact shoplifting. So, you know,
right,
they got caught shoplifting. The police ran a report of their history of shoplifting arrests at Gibson's Bakery going back decades, and there was no evidence of racial bias there. I mean, I can't remember the specifics, but it was something like 4 out of 22 were minority. Okay, so there's no evidence that Gibson's Bakery is just calling the police on every minority student who comes into the store.
Now, what happens this dean of students? I mean, you know, the kids can all claim that, you know, they were just callow youths and all that, and they didn't know anything. But this dean of students, Meredith Raimondo, she handed out a flyer accusing Gibson's of having a, quote, long history of racial profiling and discrimination. I mean, what happens to her?
Well, I don't know. Unfortunately, I've seen in academia that often people fail up. Okay, the president at the time of Oberlin College, a guy named Marvin Krislov, who really oversaw this whole debacle when it was happening, is now the president of Pace University. He got a promotion. He moved up. So what will happen to her, I have no idea, but I would not be surprised if the college kept her in that position until the case is over, because to fire her now or let her go would be an admission that maybe they did something wrong.
This happened the day after Trump was elected, and there was a whole rash of these incidents. So where we are in suburban Boston, there was an incident. Some local students at a business college were accused of making a homophobic, racist chants at a woman's school where Hillary Clinton went to college, Wellesley College. And it was all BS. It was all nonsense. I mean, this was going on all over the country, but most of them got settled within a matter of days, if not months or weeks. This has just gone on and on. Couldn't Oberlin have just put an end to this with a simple apology and given them their contracts back? And, just admitting that they were wrong.
Yeah. In fact, the testimony at the trial from the Gibson, you know, the three generations, but two of them, I believe, testified that they asked the college not even to apologize. They asked the college to send out a mass email to everybody indicating that Gibson's wasn't racist, there was no racial profiling, mm-hmm, and people should continue to use them. College wouldn't do it. If they had done that, they probably never would have brought a lawsuit. I mean, they were so arrogant. And this was at a time, I believe, when they knew to a fact the students were, in fact, shoplifting. But they couldn't bring themselves to not even apologize, but at least let the community know, we've investigated this, the police have investigated it, And all these rumors and all these protests are not true. Because you know what? My experience is in covering what goes on in campuses, a lot of these administrators are scared to death of the students. They don't want their offices taken over. They don't want to be accused of being racist. They don't want to be harassed on campus and harassed in restaurants. So they capitulate and they cater to the worst elements in the student body. Now, there were a lot of Oberlin students involved. There were a couple of hundred people protesting outside this bakery for a couple of days, and the protests were so aggressive that a policeman testified during the trial that they considered calling in the county riot team to get things under control.
And business was so destroyed that they had to lay off pretty much everybody who wasn't a member of the family, right, at the bakery?
That's right. They had, I think it was 9 or 10 employees in the bakery. They had to lay off all but one of them. The owners, a 90-year-old and a 60-year-old and his 30-year-old grandson, who all worked in the business, stopped taking salary so they could keep the place afloat. And, you know, this was just a really horrible thing. This institution formed in 1885, if you can believe it. How many businesses from 1885 stay in the family? And this is the business. I mean, in the closing argument, I believe the plaintiff's lawyer argued to the jury that this is a business that survived, you know, two world wars, the Great Depression, the recession, the 60s turmoil, but they almost didn't survive, you know, the Oberlin College aggressive, you know, false racial accusations. Their business collapsed. This is a college town. Oberlin College is a small town. And when the biggest institution in the town cuts you off, and everyone who goes to school there and everyone who works there cut you off, your business collapses.
Where do they laid off employees? Minorities? Any blacks or Hispanics or transgenders?
Well, I don't know the exact breakdown, but I do know that I believe it was 2 black employees. One might have been current. One might have been former. When I say current, means at the time this happened, and one was before. Both testified that they were always treated fairly. They never felt any discrimination. Mm. They love the Gibsons, and they're great people, and it breaks their hearts that they've been accused of racism.
Boy, I sure hope the jury socks it to them big time tomorrow. I'd love to see them have to dip into that $1 billion endowment fund. You know, it would be great.
But they won't learn the lesson. They are now portraying themselves as victim, and the mainstream media is picking up on that. The New York Times played this as an infringement of student and college free speech, that all this was free speech, and you cannot hold a college responsible for what the students say. But that's not what the theory was that went to the jury. That's not the legal claim. The legal claim is not that the college is responsible for the students, it's that the college is responsible for what their own administrators do. And here the administrators, including the dean of students, were accused of spreading defamatory statements about the bakery and their owners.
Did the 3 students, the initial shoplifters, did anything happen to them? Were they disciplined at all by the college?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know they pleaded guilty to the charges. I have not seen or heard anything about the college disciplining them, but I don't know the answer to that.
William Jacobson, I'm so happy that you that Legal Insurrection has been covering this thing, because it is a great trial, and I hope it gets picked up by somebody other than the New York Times when the jury verdict on the punitive damages comes down. That'll be great tomorrow. But thanks for being with us again on the Howie Carr Show. That's William Jacobson.